Well, this morning, I am just excited. I'm excited for a couple of reasons. One of those reasons is the fact that Ram Corps is here and they are leading us in worship so well. Let's give them a hand clap of appreciation once again. They did a fantastic job. Thank you guys so much for using your talent to glorify Jesus Christ. That means a lot. But I'm also excited because we are kicking off a new series this morning called The Voice. This is a 7-week series, and throughout this series, we are going to learn how to hear the voice of God in our lives, which is very important. Wouldn't you agree? Well, the title of the message this morning is, I'm a sheep. Now, what I want you to do is look at the person beside you and say to them, I'm a sheep. Now, look at the person that just told you that and say, that's what I smell. Well, this morning, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to talk to you about the difference between someone that is a committed follower of Christ and someone that is not. And then we're going to look at John chapter 10 and some verses from John chapter 10. And then I'm going to give you three principles about hearing the voice of God. Then I'm going to give you three things that are immature ways about looking at hearing the voice of God. And then I'm going to tell you a story, and then we'll close with prayer. So first things first. What is the difference between someone that is a committed disciple of Jesus Christ and someone that is not? Well, the answer to that is that someone that is committed to following Jesus Christ, which means that they have turned from their wrong ways, or they have turned from their sins. They've repented of their sins. They have turned from their wrong ways, and they have placed their faith in Christ. That person has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That person, by what Christ has done for us, has a personal relationship with God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Someone who has not yet committed their lives to Christ does not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this. You might be someone in here that is skeptical about Christianity. You might be skeptical about Jesus and all this church thing. And you know what? I understand that. I get that because I grew up unchurched. I did not attend church growing up. And so I really get that. And so you might take offense to me saying that. And I can understand that. So I do want to say this. If you are here this morning and you happen to be a skeptic, you happen to be someone who's not sure about this Jesus thing, I want to say this to you. You have begun to hear the voice of God in your life because you're here. You would not be here this morning if you were not beginning to hear the voice of God in your life. But now here's the thing. Someone who has not yet committed their life to Christ, the only voice that they can hear from God is the convicting voice of God. The only voice that they can hear from God is the voice of God that draws them to Himself. Someone who has not yet committed their life to Christ, that is the voice of God that they hear. And it's not quite a personal relationship because you feel the drawing of God, but you're not really having a day-to-day relationship with God because you have not yet committed yourself to the Son of God. But those who have committed themselves to Christ, those who have repented of their wrongdoing, which means turning from it and placing their faith or their trust in Christ, they have a personal relationship with Jesus, or at the very least, they have the potential to have a personal relationship with Jesus, because sometimes it takes time to learn how to hear the voice of God in our lives, to learn how to have that relationship with God. Let me kind of give you an illustration. Someone that is committed to Christ is going to approach looking for a job differently than someone that is not committed to Christ. For instance, someone that is not committed to Christ, they're going to go out and fill out the applications or fill them out online or whatever, and they're going to go to those job interviews, and they're going to hope, they're going to wish that they'll get a job. But someone that is committed to following Jesus, you know what they're going to do? They're going to pray about it. And they're going to ask God, where should I go to apply for a job? And then they're going to listen for the voice of God. And when the voice of God speaks to them, someone that is committed to Jesus is going to follow that voice. That is the big difference between someone that is not committed to Jesus and someone that is. Now, I understand sometimes we're not sure if we're hearing the voice of God. And I want you to know this. When I say things like, God spoke to me, and I say that sometimes, like about the messages that I preach, or about the things that I want to do here at the Hub. When I say that God spoke to me, I do not take that lightly. That is something that is extremely serious to me, because I firmly believe that we all, as believers, if you are a believer, can have a personal relationship with God, and that you can hear the voice of God speaking to you. Now, that does not mean that I always get it right. That doesn't mean that you'll always get it right. But it's better to listen to the voice of God and do your best to follow the voice of God than not to. Can you agree with that? But now, sometimes it may feel like, well, I'm not sure that I'm really hearing the voice of God. I want to show you a video from Smallville that kind of helps to illustrate this. So what was the problem there as Clark Kent was trying to exercise his super hearing? It was the distractions. It was the noises that was keeping him from clearly being able to hear the voice of the Father. That was keeping him from being able to focus on the voice of the Father. And sometimes that's what happens to us. We get distracted. And so my hope and prayer is that as we go through this series and beginning this morning, that we will begin to get a little bit more clarity as far as what it means to hear the voice of God. Now, I do want to say this, that there are some persuasions out there within Christianity that will say God no longer speaks to us. That all of that ended with the New Testament and that God no longer speaks to us. Now, for me, I consider that a great travesty. And I'll tell you why. Because we tell people when we're leading them to Jesus, we tell people you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then once you get them there, then you're going to flip it around and say, guess what? God doesn't speak anymore. That's awful, because how can you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, with God, or with the Holy Spirit, and yet God does not speak? I want you to know this morning that God does speak, and that God continues to speak, and we will learn what that means over the course of the next few weeks. Now, obviously, what God speaks to us here and now never contradicts the Word of God, and of course, we will talk more about that as we go along, but I want you to know that God speaks. And I want you to be able to hear the voice of God speaking to you clearly in your life. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to John chapter 10. If you do not have your Bibles with you, you can use your iPhone, your iPad, or any other gadget that you may have. Of course, the scripture will be up on the screens as well. So John chapter 10, I'm going to read this to you. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. The sheep do what? They hear his voice. Who are the sheep? They are those who are committed to following Jesus Christ. Now listen, that's not something that's condescending. Like Jesus is calling us sheep and he's kind of looking down his nose at us. All right, that's not the picture there, okay? Jesus is the shepherd and we are the sheep. And because Jesus was speaking to people 2,000 years ago who were in an agricultural society, he was using what those people did on a day-to-day basis as an illustration. So his sheep hear his voice. Who are the sheep? Those who are following Jesus. And what? They hear his voice. And what does he do? He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He calls to them. As we continue to read, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Why do they follow him? Because they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger. It's very important here. They will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Whose voice do they know? They know the voice of Jesus. Whose voice do they not know? The voice of a stranger. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Now that life abundantly begins when you start following Jesus. But as you continue to hear the voice of Jesus in your life, you begin to learn how to live that abundant life. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." This is verse 16 of John 10. "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold." He is talking about the Gentiles. Here he's talking to Jewish people, mainly his disciples. This other sheep, he's talking about us. He's talking about the Gentiles. "Them also I must bring, and they will do what? Hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So the title of the message this morning is, "I'm a sheep. What do sheep do?" What do sheep do? What else? They hear his voice. But they do not hear the voice of who? A stranger. All right. Now watch this. This is a huge truth. This is the first thing to fill out in your notes there. I want you to really get this. This is the overarching truth for this entire series. Hearing God is not something you do. It is someone you are. Hearing God is not something that you do. It's something that you are. Someone that you are. If you're a sheep who follows Jesus, who's committed to Jesus, you will hear the voice of God. So it's not just something that you have to strain to do. If you're truly committed to Christ in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, and you're doing your best to follow him, you will hear his voice speaking to you. I'm going to keep saying that over and over and over again throughout this series. Hearing the voices of God is not something that you do. It is someone that you are. So there's three things that I want you to know about hearing the voice of God this morning. It's hardwired like DNA. In other words, we are all born with the ability to be able to hear the voice of God. Everyone in this room was born with the potential, with the capacity, with the ability to hear the voice of God. Why? Because you are created in the image of God. Let's go back to the beginning, Genesis. God created Adam and Eve. What did God do with Adam and Eve? He walked with them in the garden. He walked with them in the cool of the day. And he spoke to them. And they spoke to God. Because we are created in the image of God, we have the potential, we have the capacity to hear the voice of God speaking to us in our lives. Now, as I said earlier, if you're not yet a committed follower of Jesus, what you're going to hear is the voice of God drawing you to himself. But if you are a true committed follower of Jesus, you can begin to learn to hear the voice of God speaking to you on every subject imaginable. Okay? Whatever matters to you matters to God as well. And you can hear God's guidance. Think about babies for just a moment. When babies are born, the moment that they are born, they have the ability, if they are normal babies, they have the ability to be able to hear. They have the ability to recognize voices, especially their mothers, and secondly, their fathers. As a matter of fact, we know that even within the womb, babies begin to learn the voice of their mother and the voice of their father. Babies are born with the natural ability to be able to hear. We, being created in the image of God, we have the natural capacity, the potential to be able to hear the voice of God speaking to us in our lives. You still with me? I want you to say this. I want you to say, I have the ability to hear the voice of God. Say this, I was born with the ability to hear the voice of God. All right, here's the second thing I want you to know. It's picked up. So not only are you born with this ability, the potential to do this, but it's also learned. It's picked up. How do we pick it up? How do we learn it? From other people. How do babies learn to talk? How do babies learn to distinguish sounds? Well, they learn it from other people. They learn it from being around other people. And when they're around other people, they learn how to distinguish different voices other than their mother and father. They begin to learn their brothers and sisters, their aunts and uncles and their cousins and everybody else. That takes a little bit of time, but they learn it. And they actually learn to speak as well. It reminds me of the story in 1 Samuel about Samuel, who is hanging out with the prophet Eli. He's growing up in the temple with the prophet Eli. And one night, Samuel wakes up to the sound, Samuel, Samuel. What does Samuel do? He jumps up and runs to Eli. And he says, Eli, you calling me? And Eli says, man, I'm not calling you. I'm trying to sleep. Go back to bed. So Eli, or Samuel, runs back to bed. A little while later, he hears it again. Samuel, Samuel. He jumps up and runs to Eli. He says, Eli, are you calling me? He says, man, I'm not calling you. Go back to bed. Samuel again jumps up a third time and goes to Eli. Eli finally says, okay, I think I know what's going on here. Because Eli had experience with hearing the voice of God. So Eli says, okay, the next time you hear your name called, you say, here I am, Lord, speak to me. See, Samuel learned from Eli. So Samuel goes back to bed. He hears his name called again. And he says, Lord, here I am. Basically, speak to me. And God speaks to Samuel. But he learned, he got the guidance from someone else. In order to be able to fully be able to understand and hear the voice of God in your life, you must surround your people or surround yourself with people who can hear the voice of God and who can lead you and mentor you and teach you and disciple you to be able to hear the voice of God as well. We all need people who are further down the road from us that can help us to learn to hear the voice of God in our lives. So say this with me. I can learn to hear the voice of God. One more time. I can learn to hear the voice of God. All right, the third thing, it's developed. In other words, it matures over time. We're born with the ability. We commit our lives to Christ. We begin to learn, and then it's matured over time. See, a lot of times we get a little afraid. Well, maybe I'm not hearing the voice of God. Maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just my thoughts. And that can happen. That can happen where you get your thoughts confused with the voice of God. Well, you know what you do? You learn how to distinguish that just like a child, just like a baby over time. You must respond to what you believe God is speaking to you about. And if you are honestly doing that from a sincere heart and you're honestly trying to follow the voice of God, God will correct you along the way if it's not correct. Also, if you have those people with you, those people beside you that can mentor you and help you to learn to hear the voice of God, they can help you along as well. So if you're confused, I think I'm hearing the voice of God, but I'm not sure, well, go to those people. The problem is that most of us believers don't have those people. We don't surround ourselves with people that are more mature than us that can help us along the way. But you could go to those people and you could say, look, I think I'm hearing God, but I'm not sure. Can you help me out? And if they're mature, they'll help you out. They'll pray with you and they'll help you discern and confirm the voice of God in your life. Even Jesus, Luke 2:52, Jesus grew in the wisdom and stature of the Lord. Jesus matured. Jesus developed the wisdom and stature of the Lord. So even Jesus, as a child growing up, learned how to obey the Father. He learned how to hear the voice of the Father. Now, Jesus, we know, we believe, he is without sin. He was without sin. But Scripture is very plain that he grew in the wisdom and stature of the Lord. Now, if Jesus grew in it, and he grew in it because he was a man, right? He took on human flesh. So everything that we go through, everything that we're tempted by, Jesus went through. So I'm sure that sometimes Jesus was like, I need to make sure that this is the voice of God. Now, he never got it wrong, but I'm sure that since he had on human flesh, he had some of those thoughts. As a matter of fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he even prayed, God, Father, you know, take this cup from me. I don't want this. But nevertheless, let your will be done. Why? Because he is just like us. He had some questions sometimes, but now he always chose the right way. And that's something that's important for us to know as well. That if Jesus grew, then we know that we'll have to grow too. That we'll mature in the faith as well. That we'll mature as disciples of Christ as well. So we're in good company. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Amen. Now say this. I can mature in hearing the voice of God. One more time. Say, I can mature in hearing the voice of God. But now there are some immature philosophies about hearing the voice of God that I want to bring out as well this morning. Here's one of them. I always hear God. Now, you have people who take things like to the extreme. And so you have people who will say things like they have a message from God every minute. Like they always are just receiving messages from God. And usually those messages are for other people. Right? They're running to other people and telling other people what's wrong with them. You need to straighten this out. You need to do this. You're doing that wrong or whatever. They think that they're just receiving all these messages from God. Now, let's talk about that for just a minute. If you're in an intimate relationship with someone, do you hear their voice 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? No. And it would drive you crazy if you did, right? I mean, if you are in an intimate relationship with someone and you're hearing them talk to you all the time, every second, every moment of every day, eventually you're going to say, shut up, right? Or you're going to run into another room or something. I mean, it's going to drive you crazy. So God does speak to us. And God will lead us and guide us. But it's not like God has just given us a message every single second of the day. And you have to be really careful if you're thinking that it's a message to give to someone else. And we will talk about that in a couple of weeks about that as well. And if someone comes to you and says, I got a message from God for you, don't just jump right on that thing. All right, you need to pray about it and you need to seek counsel from godly people about that as well. And you need to be reading the Word of God. That's why it's important for us to be able to read the Word of God and to understand it and to know it so that we can discern the voice of God in our lives. Here's another one. I close my eyes open and point. You know what I'm talking about. Some people, they take the Bible, they'll open it up, they'll close their eyes, and then they'll open them, and they're hoping that what they have their finger on is God, a message from God, God speaking to them. Now, that is a very immature way to try to hear the voice of God in your life. I mean, you've heard the story, right, about where the guy opens up the Bible, he does that, and he puts his finger down, and he opens his eye, and he looks at it, and, he says, and the scripture is, and Judas hung himself. Okay, wait a minute. That's not from that. No. That's not from God. So he does it again. Go and do likewise. Right? I'm just giving you a simple illustration to let you know that that is a very immature way. Now, you should know the word, all right? But don't play Russian roulette with it, all right? I mean, get in it and study it and memorize it and know it, but don't play that game with it, because it's going to mess you up. It's going to steer you the wrong way. And then the last thing, and this one right here might take you for a little loop for a moment. If it's God's will, it will happen. When people say that, well, it must have not been God's will. If it's God's will, it'll happen, right? Well, here's the thing. Maybe God's telling you to do something and you're just not doing it. And now, since it's not working out the way you want it to work out, then you point at God and say, well, I guess it wasn't God's will, because it just didn't happen. Let me tell you what. God gives us freedom of choice, a free will. And we can choose to follow him or not. We can choose to listen or not. And so God can speak to you specific direction. A lot of that direction is in this. Do we always obey what's written in this? Are we going to point to God and say, it's your fault that I committed adultery? It's your fault that I lied? No. And it goes the same way when we're listening to the voice of God for direction in our lives. We can put God on the hook and try to blame it on him when it's really us. Maybe we're just lazy. And maybe we don't want to get out of bed in the morning and put forth the effort that God is leading us to do. And so we just can't say, well, you know, it wasn't God's will, so it just didn't happen. That's sometimes a cop-out. It's just a cop-out. I want to tell you a story this morning. As I mentioned earlier, I didn't always grow up in church. Well, I did not grow up in church. My family did not go to church at all, and a lot of you know that. At about the age of 12, I had an aunt and uncle that, through their witness, they led me to Christ, and I gave my life to Christ. So I was about 12, 11, somewhere in that age range. Well, I still wasn't able to go to church. My parents didn't go to church. Nobody was coming to pick me up to take me either, okay? I did my best for a while to read scripture, and I did my best for a while to pray at that age. It didn't stick. I didn't have any encouragement. Didn't really have people around me to help me to do that. But I distinctly remember when I was about 16, maybe 17, I grew up in Dothan, Alabama. And so I had a little pickup truck, and I was driving around the Ross Clark Circle in Dothan. You know, Dothan has a circle that goes all the way around it. And I was driving my truck on this circle. And suddenly, it was like the Spirit of God just filled the cab of that truck. And I distinctly remember hearing the voice of God say to me, you can take yourself to church now. Yeah. I mean, that's what God said. You can take yourself to church now. And that was the beginning of me realizing he talks to me. And that very Sunday, I began taking myself to church. Now, I picked a church that was just around the corner from where we live, because that's where my friends went to church at. But that's where I started. And as I got involved in that church, God kept talking to me. So God got me to church. And then God said stuff like, get baptized. And God says stuff like, join the church. And God says stuff like, you need to get involved in the youth group. So I got involved in a group. Call it a small group, if you will. But I got involved in a group. And then God said, listen, you need to start teaching in that youth group. So I went to the youth pastor and I talked to the youth pastor about it. And so the youth pastor began to allow me time to preach in that youth group and teach in that youth group once a month. So I began to use my gifts and talents in that youth group. And eventually I got to a place where I began inviting people. Look, this is no joke. I remember one afternoon I was reading my scripture at home. I was about 16 or 17 years old. I was reading my scripture at home and I read Matthew 28. 19 through 20, all of that, the Great Commission. And I got extremely convicted. I got in my car and drove door to door in my neighborhood inviting people to church. I got in my car. It's the first time I ever did this. That was the very beginning of that. I got in my car and just went driving door to door talking to people about coming to church. And some of those people even let me in their house at that time. Now, this was, you know, the mid to early 90s. But people would let me in to talk with them at that time. All I'm trying to say is that God's voice does speak to us. And when we listen to God's voice, he will lead us and guide us and take us to deeper places with him if we will obey his voice. So this is what I want to do this morning. I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to ask all of you to close your eyes and bow your heads. And I'm going to say a prayer for all of us. I'm going to say a prayer asking God to help us to hear his voice better. To help us mature in hearing his voice. And if you would, as I say the prayer, if you want, I ask you to say that prayer with me. You don't have to. You don't have to feel pressured to do that. But if you want to say the prayer, I ask you to say it along with me. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you would help us to hear your voice. Open our hearts. Open our ears, our spirits, our minds to hear your voice. And Father, as we hear your voice, help us to obey your voice. Draw all of us into a deeper, closer relationship with you. Father, we all have problems in our lives. We all have things for which we need guidance. Help us to turn to you for that guidance. And help us to hear your voice speaking to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.